Good morning. I welcome you to worship on this 4th of July weekend here as we celebrate our nation's 250th year of being a nation, the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And whether you're joining us on the church's live stream, perhaps you're at home, or perhaps you're at a cottage or on a lake, we're glad that you're here. If you're in the sanctuary worshiping with us this morning, glad that you are here as well. Have a few announcements we wish to highlight as we continue to live out our congregation's commitment to the cross. This is our commitment to being a congregation that values being connected, being respected, respectful, open-minded, while founding all of this in Scripture and having a service at the heart of who we are. For our first announcement today, I'm going to hand things off to Melinda Sammarco, who serves as our director, our interim director of Children's Ministries. Melinda?
Good morning, everybody. So happy to see you here the day after the 4th. I hope everyone had a wonderful celebration yesterday. I want to announce that we have our second Be a Blessing Serving Saturday coming up this next Saturday on July the 11th. There is one more, in case you can't make it, on August the 8th. We are partnering with Midwest Distribution, Midwest Missions Distribution Center, and we will be working on home care kits. Plus, we have an exciting thing. We have a live beekeeper coming, so the kids have the opportunity to meet him. That is from 9 to 11 this next Saturday, June the, July the 11th. We are in July. Thank you.
Indeed, summer is passing by fast, so we are here in July. So next, I'm going to turn things over to Gabrielle Cook-McElvenna, who serves as our music director.
I'm a shorty, so I need to move the microphone. It is my pleasure to invite you to our second Next Generation Music Concert. It will be held next Sunday, July 12th. At 7 p.m. in our chapel. We are delighted to be able to host Larry and Carla Sue, who are handbell composers and performers from Michigan. So they are folks that we are well known to, and we enjoy when we can be able to work with them. They will be available to chat with and to take photos and to see their instruments afterwards. I encourage you to come. It's a free concert. And we are so excited to be able to support sacred musicians, music educators, composers, and performers. So please invite your friends and your family. It is a great way to get your kids exposed to music and a great way to have a fun evening with those that you know. Thank you.
Next, I'm going to invite forward Brad Barr, who serves as the chair of our Strategic Leadership Council. And in doing so, I'm also going to invite forward Reverend Brian Kilpatrick and his family.
Well, thank you, Pastor Jeremy, and good morning, church. On behalf of the Strategic Leadership Council, it is my privilege and my great pleasure to introduce to you our new Associate Pastor of Discipleship, Mr. Brian Kilpatrick. Brian is joined today by his wife, Ashley, his daughter, Cecilia, sons, Lucas, and Brad. They come to us from Lambertville United Methodist Church, where they most recently served, and hopefully are settling in at the parsonage over here. So we're glad to have you. Pastor Brian, Ashley, Cecilia, Lucas, and Brad, we welcome you into our church family here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And we look very forward to serving alongside you, chasing our God-sized dreams to help others know, love, and share Jesus Christ. Would you please give them a hand?
Good morning, church. On behalf of my family, I just want to say thank you to all of you for the warm welcome that we have received. When I was first interviewing with the SLC and with Jeremy, they kept talking about this God-sized dream that you all were developing. And I said, well, what exactly is that God-sized dream? And they said, well, we haven't figured that out yet. And so I'm excited to come alongside you guys and to come alongside Jeremy to help in whatever way I can as we continue to figure out what that God-sized dream is and how our role as not only people who come to church, but as disciples of Christ fits into that larger dream. I'm going to go ahead and ask for a little bit of grace for the next week or so as I continue to find my footing and as we continue to unpack boxes around the parsonage. But thank you, everybody, for the welcome that we have received so far, and we're looking forward to doing wonderful things with all of you in what is hopefully years to come. So thank you.
It's been wonderful to welcome Reverend Kilpatrick among us. He has hit the ground running in terms of getting situated here at the church. As you might imagine, indeed, it is a process for a family to do that as well, not just in the parsonage, not just in our church, but really in the community. And so this first year of their time here in Midland, I would encourage you to extend grace to the Kilpatricks throughout this process. We're excited to have them here. Reverend Kilpatrick brings many gifts to us, many gifts that will be a blessing to us. And as we indeed discern that God-sized dream, this endeavor for this church that we are bound to stumble or fail at if God is not a part of it. So it's exciting to welcome Reverend Kilpatrick along with Ashley and Cecilia, Lucas and Bradley among us. So welcome. After next Sunday, July 12th, will be Pastor Brian's first Sunday of preaching here at Midland First, and then after the service, we will have a reception in the Fellowship Hall to welcome them once again. So look forward to that time together.
Please remain standing for the call of worship. You can see this on your bulletin or on the screen. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness.
I ask that you remain standing as you're able and join us in our opening hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King. You'll find this on page 62 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. This morning we're singing verses 1 through 3 and then verse 7.
Thank you.
this morning in Sunday school, we are going to be, first of all, how old is the United States?
Do you guys 250. See?
I know, doesn't that seem old to you? What do you think? I think it does. But the ideas that they started are still important today. There's an idea of freedom, and that's important that we understand that. As Americans, we celebrate the 4th of July this weekend, Independence Day, as believers in Christ. We can celebrate our freedom every day because Jesus has set us free of sin and death. Therefore, our memory verse for today is, "So if the Son, Jesus, sets you free, you will be free indeed." So these are really the big ideas for freedom in the United States here. We have the ability to worship God anywhere we want to, and that's not true in every country. Does anybody have any idea if we look, not the gold, of course, but to the flag of the United States, what did those colors represent? Do you guys? Yes. You're right that the stripes and the stars do. I was talking about the colors, though. What do you think? You have a guess? That's a good one. How about the red? Does anybody have any idea? The red, I know.
Freedom.
Oh, that's very close. It's courage. Red is for courage. How about the white? The stars. Anybody have any idea?
Blue.
The stripes. It's purity. And then the blue. Freedom. Or it's faithfulness. But free. I like freedom. That's a good one. But it's faithfulness. So it's really neat that the United States has, and if we study more, we see that the Bell of Liberty has a Bible verse in it. And I think that's really, that what was in our newsletter this week. Okay, let's do a quick prayer and off to Sunday school we go. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you bless all the Americans of this weekend, our congregation, our children this morning, as we celebrate that we are free to worship you, Lord. We just ask you to help all those in need. Those that are veterans, those that are hungry, may you bring us many blessings and help us as we do a blessed, this next Saturday we do our, can't even think of what you call it, sorry, but you know, Lord, please just give us our blessings as we come and worship with you this morning and next Saturday from 9 to 11. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Let's go to Sunday school.
Ah,
Amen. Thank you, Allison. Thank you, Gabrielle. So I imagine milestones like today bring to mind the blessings that we have, indeed as a nation and in living as a people. I imagine also it brings to mind the challenges that we have, this great endeavor of forming a more perfect union. What we also know and what we also root ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ is that we know God's grace and God's blessings are upon us in all seasons of life. And so as we take this time to give of our tithes and offerings, I invite you once again to be mindful of God's blessings, yes, upon this nation, but also in our individual lives and as we live our lives out. If you're a visitor here for the first time, I invite you to sit back and to use that time to be mindful of your blessings. If you're a member of the church and you're able to support financially the mission and vision of this church, we continue to thank you for your faithfulness. As we give this time, invite you to let us know of your presence here by signing the red friendship pads that are in the pews with you today. And at this time, I invite our ushers to please come forward.
Like as the heart
Almighty God, as we are mindful upon this milestone in our nation's history of the blessings of being this nation, the blessings of America, Lord, we're mindful that all of our blessings and what is good is rooted in you. And so we give back to you and ask that you would bless all that we give in our offering plates and throughout the week, that others might know the blessing of your compassion and of your grace in their lives and in this nation, and yes, indeed, in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Today's scripture reading will be Psalm 145, verses 8 through 14. I will be reading from the New Living Translation. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion in all his creation. All your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell you of your mighty deeds. They about the and about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. The word of God for the people of God.
For the servant, just want to note Blake's serving as our liturgist today. You might remember a few months ago, Blake was confirmed here and entered into being a full member of the church. But I told Blake earlier this week that it reminds me of how one of my first Sundays here, Blake served as our liturgist. And it's just great to see one of our youth serving in this way. I just remember in my own life, in my own upbringing in the church, how important the church was in terms of helping me discover my gifts and God's direction in my life. And I just believe that the more opportunities that we are giving our youth to serve among us in substantive ways, it is a blessing in their life. Whether they end up in a pulpit, whether they end up as an engineer or in a trade or wherever life brings them, it's a pretty phenomenal work that God can do in a young person's life. And so I'm excited that that is part of who we are. And Blake, I thank you for serving as our liturgist this morning. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in his love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. Psalm 145. According to one commentary on this Bible passage, Psalm 145 is the culmination of the fifth and final section that we find within the book of Psalms. Interestingly, it's the only psalm that uses the Hebrew word term for praise in its title, the term tehillah. One rabbi describes this psalm as the prayer of all prayers. Imagine that, yes? The prayer of all prayers, the entryway to the Psalms. And ironically for us today, it was often sung by a people whose nation, whose earthly kingdom had collapsed. It's here that we find a psalm of praise. Praise of a God who is compassionate. Praise of a God who is sovereign, who is good to all, and whose compassion is over all that God had made. The term all is used 17 times in this psalm and 9 times in the passage that we're reading here this morning, emphasizing the full sovereignty of God. David, who's the author of this psalm, praises a God who is good, praises a God who is merciful, praises a God who is steadfast in his love. And in this psalm, David also praises a God who upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Indeed, this is a psalm of praise, a psalm praising God. Throughout this 4th of July weekend, we're celebrating 250 years of nationhood as Americans. And if we're being straightforward, if we're being direct with one another, even this, celebrating this in our day of time and day and time, is complicated. If it were not so, I wouldn't have given a second thought of asking a staff member to put on the church's outdoor display a sign celebrating 250 years as a nation. But I did. I gave this simple act a second thought, wondering how it might be interpreted by our community and even some of our members. like most things today, as a nation, we've politicized this milestone in our country. And more than this, celebrating America's semi-quincentennial is complicated. It's complicated because for some living in America, we are living the quintessential American dream. But for others in our country, we are struggling to make this dream a reality. And for many, we are somewhere in the middle. And so celebrating 250 years of nationhood as a nation today, well, it's complicated. For me personally, this is complicated. On the one hand, my family is living the American dream. My father immigrated from the Philippines in 1967. And my mom, chasing after the love of her life, yes, which we continue to like giving her a hard time that she was the one to chase mom, or dad. But my mom immigrated to the United States in 1968. Together, they received their green card in 1988 and became naturalized citizens, American citizens, in 2003. And so today, we're living the American dream. And on the other hand, one of my more formative moments as a child growing up in Grosse Pointe Woods in the 1980s was needing to move because of the racist graffiti that was spray painted on the side of our garage and other acts of vandalism intended to communicate to us that we were not welcome. On the other hand, the love of my life, Cara, I probably didn't have to identify that, but well, my life is from North Carolina, from a whole other part of this country to which I had no connection to, the western side of North Carolina before meeting Cara. And I am loved and accepted by my in-laws as if I had grown up next door. Well, full disclosure, sometimes there's a little angst that I entice Cara to move to Michigan, but for the most part, I am loved by my in-law. While on the other hand, I have suffered the embarrassment and hurt in one of the churches that I have pastored, when someone commented and complimented me on how well I spoke English, even though I had been born here and lived here all my life. And that experience, even as an adult, left me wondering, will I ever be seen as an American? Or will I ever know what it's fully like to call our nation my home? But in all of this, I know I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone where in being part of a nation, where in being an American, is complicated. For example, I think about our service members and their families who have sacrificed so much to our country. Some individuals and some families having given the ultimate sacrifice of dying in service to this country. And I think about those who have never received a hero's welcome, having given so much. And yes, in particular, I do think of those who served during the Vietnam War. And I can't help but think that being a nation and being a people can be complicated. In my lifetime, I also think of 9/11, and I think of the COVID pandemic, and I think of other seminal moments in our nation's history that I have witnessed for myself. Perhaps some of those are coming to you now. And as I think of those moments in time, I think about how they have brought out the best of us as a people. And at the same time, some of our worst. And so nationhood is complicated. Being a citizen, being a part of a greater whole can be complicated. And if we're being forthright as Americans, celebrating our 250th in this day and time, it's complicated. And so where do we go from here? How do we best approach America's semi-quincentennial? How do we best approach this occasion as apostles of Jesus Christ, as people who are sent out into this world, as people God is calling to be God's light, and to be God's hope, and to be God's agent of change, as those whom God is calling and sending out and building upon a term that Bishop David Bard, our bishop here in the Michigan Annual Conference, once used at an annual conference several years ago. As followers of Christ, our calling is not one of confusion, but of a compassionate curiosity and conviction. That's what I think. That's what I believe our response should be as we consider both the celebrations and the challenges of being a nation. That our calling is not one of confusion, but of compassionate curiosity and conviction. See, knowing that God is compassionate, knowing that we heard as in the Psalms that God is the one who upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down, it bears to reason as those whose ultimate identity is defined as having been created in the image of God, it bears to reason that we too ought to be compassionate and curious, with room for conviction when it comes to loving our neighbor. Whether that neighbor comes in the form of somebody in the pew, your neighbor in the pew. And so let's practice this morning. I wanted to invite you to turn to your neighbor in your pew and say, I have compassion. I have a willingness to walk alongside you. I have a willingness, when the going is tough, to stick with you. And I'm here when the going is good to celebrate with you. I have compassion. All right, I know being a holiday weekend, we're a little bit sparse. So now I'm going to invite you to look to somebody in front of you. I'm going to invite you to say, sorry, Michael, but I'm right here. I'm going to invite you to say, I am curious. I am curious. Go ahead, say to someone in front of you, I'm curious. You know, I am curious. I know that your story is not my story. Yes, while we have common ground, there are things that make us different. And the things that make us different make us grand, and the places that we are different, God shows up in amazing ways. And yes, I am curious. All right, we're going to break that rule that Mama told us never to do. We're going to look behind us in the pew. You're going to be all right. You won't turn into a pillar of salt. I want you to say, I have conviction. I have conviction. Yes? There's room for us in this compassion and curiosity to have convictions, to have beliefs, and to hold them well. This is true whether we're looking at our neighbors in the pew. This is true whether we're looking at a neighbor who is a fellow American. And it's true whether our neighbor is a citizen of another country wanting to join us in this grand experiment and endeavor of becoming a more perfect union. Walt Ruprecht, who's a member of this congregation, good morning, Walt and Joanne, if you are joining us on the live stream. Coincidentally, Walt celebrated his 75th with Joanne very recently, so we wish you a continued happy 75th. I mention Walt because he wears a red ball cap from time to time, and perhaps you've seen him wear this ball cap, and it has on it the slogan, "Make America Love Again." Make America Love Again. And for some reason in writing this sermon, this came to mind. And for me, this simple phrase and this even more simple gesture epitomizes what it looks like to have compassionate curiosity and conviction for our neighbor. I believe a vast majority of individuals and families in America today simply want a place to call home, people to call their own. I recognize the times we live in, and I recognize that they are complicated, and I recognize that, no, not everybody is there. That, yes, in our world today, there are some who wish to harm this nation. An overwhelmingly vast majority of people in our country, I believe, are simply looking for a place to call home, to call their own. In some ways, this is what it means. Our faith and our praise of God calls us to go about doing so, to both celebrate and wrestle with America's 250th in a way that honors and acknowledges that the Lord is good to all and that God's compassion is over all that God has made. Let us pray. God, who is over all, you know this day and time. You know this 250th that we celebrate as a nation. You know our story as a people. You know the struggles. You know its achievements. You know what is yet to be dreamt of and imagined. And God, on this occasion, we give you our thanks and we give you our praise. For we know that you are a God of compassion. And Lord, that this compassion gives us a roadmap for all that we need to be and do as a people. A roadmap for loving our neighbor and loving you. A roadmap for how we can hold seemingly opposing ideas in tension. How we can continue to be a people of strong conviction and values and morals while staying open and curious of how you are working among us. Lord, we have neighbors near and far. Neighbors in our pews, neighbors in our community, neighbors in this nation and indeed across the world. Give us compassion for one another, Lord, that we might continue to honor you, serve you, offer your hope, offer your light, indeed answer our own prayers for your kingdom to come. Lord, on this Independence Day weekend, we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders, both nationally and locally. May your grace and your wisdom and your ways be poured out upon them. And Lord, as your people, as those who live in this land, may we continue to find a way that expresses the best of who we are. And Lord, as the church and as your people, may we continue to bring a love and compassion and grace into your creation. We pray this in Jesus' name. This morning we celebrate the sacrament of home. It's always good to be reminded of God's invitation to this table that Jesus invites us to. And so I want to remind you that as United Methodists and as the United Methodist Church, we practice an open. And so you need not be a member of this church or any other church to receive communion today. We simply ask that if you participate in communion, that you are open to God's love and God's compassion in your life. We're going to celebrate communion by inviting you to come forward using the center aisles. There will be two stations here at the front. I invite you to stop at one of the stations to receive the bread and the juice, and then to return to your pews using the side aisles. If you're needing the gluten-free bread, that is the bread that's been set aside for you in the bowls at each of the stations. At this time, as we prepare to receive communion, I'm going to invite you to turn to page 12 in our hymnals, or you will see your portion of the liturgy on the screen. Let us prepare ourselves to receive this gift of God's grace. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, all who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us take these next few moments of silence to confess our sins. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. I invite you to turn to page 13 as we continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in mystery to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of the people of God, let us pray the prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. At this time, I'm going to invite forward those who are helping to serve communion. We invite you to come forward.
One bread, one body, one Lord of all.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for this table that invites us. We thank you for the nourishment we receive both in body and spirit to do this good work of being your people, of carrying a compassionate curiosity and conviction and our love for you and our love for neighbor. We pray this together in Jesus' name. I invite you to stand as you are able and to join us for our closing hymn, America the Beautiful. You'll find this on page 696 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. Writing this sermon, the thought occurred to me that there's a part of me that really yearns for the simplicity of July 4th. When I was a child, and the greatest worry was burning myself on those sparklers. Remember? I don't even know if we still sell those or not. I'm not sure why my parents put that in my hand as like a 7 or 8 year old, but I survived. It's difficult to acknowledge life's complexities. But when we do, either as a people, as a nation, or either as a people, as the people of God, we see a God that shows up, and we see a God that is compassionate, and we see a God that is showing us a way forward. May we be that people. Amen.